The American writer Saul Bellow was a Nobel laureate, a Pulitzer Prize winner, and was friends with some of the great writers of the 20th century. He also had five wives, four children by different mothers, and a prickly personality. At the end of his long life, he apparently asked, "Was I a man or was I a jerk?" Well, a professor of English literature, Zachary Leader, has set out to answer this question. He's written two volumes on Saul Bellow's life, and the second has just come out. It's called The Life of Saul Bellow, Love and Strife, 1965 to 2005. Zachary, welcome to the book show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So this has been two books and 10 years of your life writing about Saul Bellow. Why the fascination with this man?
Well, he's a great writer, and I don't think I could have finished the biography without being sustained by his prose, by how well he wrote. Whenever his behavior caused me dismay, he managed to write about it in a way that was funny and full of insight and remorse and regret. So he was there at every moment when one felt tempted to describe him as a jerk. He was much better on the page than he was in life.
Okay, well, let's talk about the page briefly, because your book begins after the publication of Bellow's novel Herzog, which came out in 1964. Now, this book was such a huge success. Can you talk to me briefly about the significance of this novel?
Well, first of all, there was a significance in his life. It transformed his life. He had been successful before. He'd won a National Book Award. He was well-reviewed. He was famous in intellectual circles, but this made him kind of Time magazine famous, and it also made him rich. And if the first half of his life, covered in the first volume of my biography, is about his struggle to be able to be a writer, from now on, he really had to deal with the fact that he had almost total freedom. The work itself is important because it somehow managed, as Bellow's prose style manages, to cater to a general, wide audience and also meet the demands of the highest literary critics and standards. He had a wide range in the way he wrote and the way he thought. He knew all about the street, and he knew all about literary and philosophical and political theory. He was a man with an extraordinary range of interests and capabilities. When he was dying, Philip Roth was told by his agent that Bellow was depressed, and Roth said, "Well, you'd be depressed too if that universe was collapsing on you." The size of Bellow's universe was extraordinary.
It's interesting that you mention Philip Roth, because Philip Roth was such a writer that wrote his own personality into his books. His characters were ciphers for him. And I know in this novel, Herzog, we can look at the main character as Herzog as a cipher for Saul Bellow. Can you just explain what the two men, Herzog and Saul Bellow, had in common?
At the center of Herzog is a betrayal on the part of his wife, who has an affair with his best friend. And Herzog, an extremely learned man like Bellow himself, for all his learning, simply could not come to terms with the fact that he had picked both someone who could do this to him as his wife and someone who could do this to him as his best friend. One of the ways Bellow accounted for the general success of his book is that though it's full of literary and philosophical allusions, you wouldn't expect a bestseller to have references to Kierkegaard and Heidegger and so forth. What the novel seems to make clear is that all this learning simply didn't do him much good, which is sort of reassuring to a general audience not at ease with references to Nietzsche and Heidegger and so forth and so on. It's a comedy about misperception and the limits of knowledge.
You can be a smart guy, but you can still fail in your marriage and all that.
Yes, you can get people wrong.
Zachary Leader, in your book, you reveal a lot of the details of Bellow's life, his infidelities, divorces, personal feuds. What do we learn about the creative world by airing a writer's personal life? And for Saul Bellow, was his personal life and his writing life really entwined?
Yes. As I said at the beginning, his personal life and his writing life were very closely entwined. He drew from elements in his life, from people in his life. When he drew a fictional character, he always had to have a real life model for that character, at least at the beginning. The character could then deviate from the real life figure. But yes, it was very much there. I mean, my aim in writing this book was first to show how great the writing is. Second, to give a sense of what it was like to meet Saul Bellow at different points in his life, but also to be him. And because he's been written about quite a lot, and his behavior has often brought him notoriety and controversy, what I wanted to do was to lay out all the differing accounts for why he behaved as he behaved, and let the reader pretty much decide how to account for it. Just briefly, I often asked why Bellow was married so many. Why did he marry five times?
Yeah.
Well, one, his good friend, the novelist Richard Stern, said, well, he would meet a woman and fall in love with her and project all kinds of ideal qualities onto her. And when he married her and she turned out to be human rather than to have all these perfect qualities, he was deeply disappointed. I told this to a colleague of Stern's and Bellow's at the University of Chicago, a woman named Wendy Doniger. I said, well, you know, he'd project all these ideal qualities onto the women and then they'd fail to realize them. And Wendy Doniger said, well, that's what love is, isn't it? Now, I don't happen to believe that's what love is, but that's one answer. Another answer came from Bellow's widow, his fifth wife, 43 years his junior, Janice Friedman Bellow. And when I said, why did Saul Bellow marry so many times? She said, he was looking for me.
Well, that's romantic.
Now, that's romantic. It depends on where you are. These are two accounts for why it is. Bellow himself said he married so many times because he couldn't accept that he was the sort of person who couldn't be monogamous.
Because he did cheat a lot. And I understand that he would actually read his own work to young women as a form of seduction. And this worked, Zachary.
Well, yes. Some of these stories must have been apocryphal. He met a girl at a party, a woman who became his lifelong friend. He was staying at the Plaza in New York, though he was living in Chicago. She left the party with him. She was very young. And he immediately went to a bookstore to find a copy of Henderson the Rain King. They went back to the Plaza Hotel to his room, took their clothes off, got into bed. And she told me he read the entire novel to her. I find this hard to believe. And he did this at other times as well. He was a really great writer. If you were interested in great writing, it could be seductive, I would imagine.
So he meets these women, he falls for these women, then he gets to know them as humans and it all goes wrong. All these women are finding their ways into his novels. When he's writing about these women, is it a form of revenge on them?
Well, sometimes it's revenge, and sometimes it's, as it were, an expression of remorse, gratitude. That is, sometimes it's apology, sometimes it's revenge, sometimes it's apology, sometimes it's an attempt to understand what it is that had happened in the relationship, what drew him to the woman, and what it was that bothered him about her. It's a sort of investigation of these relationships. There are instances in which the motive is that of revenge. Bellow came from a very tough background. He was not one to turn the other cheek. When criticized or in some way blocked, he'd put his dukes up. He'd fight. He was tough. He came from a very tough family. He had to fight hard against the influence of his older brother and his father, who thought of him... the older brother called him a schmuck with a pen, who thought he should have been in business as they were and not had anything to do with all this writing. It was only when he won the Nobel Prize that his older brother, whom he worshipped, said, well, the kid finally made it. He was not an easy person when crossed, though he could be charming and loyal and generous and lovable. But he could also be very tough and prickly. And all those emotions go into the drawing of a range of female characters and a range of male characters as well.
Okay, so we've talked about what Sorbello was like as a partner. We've talked briefly there about what he was like as a son. But what about as a father? Because he had three sons and a daughter. They didn't grow up together. They all had different mothers. What was he like as a dad?
Well, like many men, his image of father was taken from his own father, in part. And his own father was an old-fashioned Eastern European Jewish patriarchal figure who was extremely loving, extremely tactile, and could not be crossed, would not be quit, needed proper respect. And some part of this Bello had, but he had made his job so difficult for himself. He divorced, separated acrimoniously from the mothers of each of his three sons. And then he wrote novels in which the mothers of these sons were traduced, were badly depicted. And in a couple of cases, this was out of revenge. And in a third case, the portrait wasn't that bad. But the wives had resentments. The mothers had resentments against him. And he was dutiful about seeing his children at the appointed times and so forth. But this is something that was true of him throughout his life. The writing always came first. So when a son, one of his sons or both of his sons or three sons would come to visit, every morning till 1 o'clock, he was off limits. And whichever girlfriend or so forth was with him would take care of the kids. The kids had to be quiet and be out of the way. After one, he was very good with them. He'd show them things, he'd teach them things, he'd read them things. They'd go to the beach together. They'd go hiking together. But the sons all had a sense of their father as away and distant and a little bit formidable, even though they knew at the same time he was loving. And he and his ex-wives couldn't stop themselves from criticizing their partners to their children. A terrible thing to do, but that was the case. So the sons knew they were loved, but they also were ill at ease with their father at times, didn't really know him all that well, and constantly felt there were all these people between them and their father. Only late in life did they really get together and get to know each other. Because they came from these different families and grew up apart from each other. But they're quite close now.
Zachary, when he was 84, Sorbello became a father again to his fifth wife. At 85, he brought out the novel Ravelstein. But then his health started to deteriorate. How quickly did he go downhill?
He died in 2005, and he was teaching right up through 2003, though James Wood, who co-taught with him, thought he probably shouldn't have taught in that last year. His mind began to go. His memory began to go. He would ask about people who were dead and then be extremely upset to discover that they had died. But one wonderful thing he had was his daughter, Rosie, who was a young child. There was never any question of who Rosie was. She was Rosie because she was a young child, unlike all the grown-ups. And she wasn't someone always asking him what he was thinking when he was quiet. This irritated him greatly to be asked, "What are you thinking?" She didn't do that. And he found her sort of endlessly fascinating, and he was very patient with her. I never forget one of the first films I saw of Bello were videos taken by the man who was his the last of his personal assistants or secretaries, who was a filmmaker. And he showed me these films of Bello playing again and again so patiently with this little child. And I thought that it was quite unlike my notion of what this man was like. But it was because it was at the end, and he was himself able to be patient about these matters. He had changed at the very end, the loss of memory and so forth, did soften him at the very end, the last couple of years of his life.
So, Zachary, at the start of the interview, we talked about this statement that he apparently made on his deathbed. Was I a man or was I a jerk? What do you think?
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to say that he was both. When people ask, people ask biographers, did you like him or do you like him? Well, I liked him when he was likable and I didn't like him when he wasn't likable. It's mixed. He was a mixed person. But what remains the case is that from the beginning to the very end, he was a terrific writer, and it's that writing which is his great gift, to which he devoted his life.
The Life of Saul Bellow, Love and Strife, 1965 to 2005, is published by Penguin Random House. Zachary Leader, thanks so much for sharing your insight into Saul Bellow's life with us.
Thank you for allowing me to do so.
This is The Book Show. I'm Claire Nichols.